Welcome to Simply Financial with your financial coach, Kevin Ray. In today's investing environment, there's a lot of clutter. If you're tired of the talking heads and financial noise, this is the show for you. Today, we'll help you find simple solutions to financial challenges. We'll show you how to achieve your financial goals and get answers to your toughest questions. Simply Financial with Kevin Ray starts now.
Hey, welcome to Simply Financial. I'm Walter Storholt alongside Kevin Ray. He is, of course, your financial coach, serving you all throughout the Tri-City area. This is the show for you if you want to learn a little bit more about your finances, about financial planning and retirement, and how to achieve all of those future goals that you have in mind. Kevin always makes this a fun process and a fun thing to talk about, and looking forward to our conversation today. Kevin, how is life treating you, my friend? I hope well.
Well, life is good now, Walter. Last week I caught, I don't know whatever that virus is everybody's got in. It sure knocked me off my feet for a while, but I'm on the mend. I'm sounding a little nasally probably, but I'm doing not much better this week.
I must have passed it to you through the microphone from when I was sick a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, because you had something similar, didn't you?
I think it works like that, right?
Yeah, it just goes electronically through all the internet system, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That was one of the worst things when I worked in a radio office, back before, COVID and all that kind of stuff. Man, every winter, I mean, you're sharing microphones when you have a normal studio, and you have different hosts and different reporters and everybody's cycling through and everyone's talking 1 inch away from a microphone and your beard hairs are rubbing up against the little windscreen and ugh. We just shared so many germs back in those days. But I don't know. Maybe my immune system was Teflon from all that exposure. I don't know. But
you never know. I was on a plane, and I'm pretty sure I caught it there because a couple of guys sitting next, right across the aisle, were hacking and coughing. And
the last three times I've been on a plane, I've been sick afterwards. So
it seems to be the thing, yeah. So,
and it's odd because they said with COVID that actually a plane was a pretty good place to be, at least with COVID, because of the air filtering systems and whatnot.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I get sick every time I get on a plane, so I don't know what it is.
Well, I'm headed down to Tennessee, so after the show we're headed down to Tennessee, but I'm driving this time. I'm not taking that chance.
So you'll be nice and healthy.
I'll be nice and healthy, yeah.
That's good.
As long as where I stop, they're nice and healthy, right?
Yep, exactly. Well, very good. Safe travels to you, and let's take care of business before that comes up and that you head out on that trip with a great topic to kick things off with today. Like I said, we're talking retirement and financial planning, and sometimes we like to make things a little bit lighter or more fun here on the show, so we're going to play a little game. We're going to call it just a simple agree or disagree game, if that sounds good to you, Kevin.
Let's give it a whirl.
All right, sounds good. I'm going to throw out a statement, and you're just going to let me know if you agree, disagree, and why you choose that direction. And we'll get to cover a lot of ground about different financial planning topics here, which I think will be nice.
Okay.
All right, so first of all, and play along at home, please, if you will. You should always pay off your house as soon as you can. Do you agree or disagree with that idea?
Walter, now we've been doing this 5 years. What do you think I'm going to say?
I'm going to say disagree.
Ooh.
I agree. Okay. All right.
Yes. Because if you look at the compound...
I thought you'd give a little leniency on it, but...
No, well, sometimes it makes sense, but most of the time I paid mine off, for example, as soon as I could. So if you, Walter, if you go to a bank and you take out a mortgage, and let's say it's a 20-year mortgage, you make your first payment. What is most of that first payment consist of?
Oh, yeah. Like hardly any of it's going to the principal. It's very frustrating.
It's all going towards interest, right? Yeah. So if you go to like a bankrate.com, they got calculators on there, and you can see if I make an extra payment or two a year, how many thousands of dollars it's going to save you over the term of that mortgage and how long it'll shorten it up too. So I've always been a big proponent. I know a lot of advisors aren't on that side of the coin, but I am, because I don't want to pay all of those thousands of dollars out in interest if I don't have to. And number two, if I pay it off earlier, then I can start taking those dollars that I was paying towards my mortgage and start putting those toward my retirement planning too. So I think it's twofold, especially on my side, the way I look at it. So when people come to my office, I will most generally say, let's look at paying your house off before you retire if we can. If not, we'll work on, how the best way to tackle that. But I think going into retirement, especially if you don't have a house payment, that's just more money in your pocket in the end. And then if you're younger, I still think, if you can pay it off early, we're making an extra payment or two a year. And if you get a bonus, maybe putting that on there. And if you look at it long term, over 20, 25 years, it'll save you tens of thousands of dollars in interest.
So, yeah, a lot of people kind of still subscribe to that. Hey, if you only have 3% interest or something like that, you can make more money in the market, so don't pay off the loan. But a lot of people are just comfortable getting that off of their shoulders, right? And just it sounds like you really like that mental aspect of getting rid of it as well.
Well, it is. It's a discipline, right? Because you've been disciplined at doing it, and you can take that discipline further into your retirement planning. And remember when, Walter, you're probably your dad is about my age, I think, or maybe a little bit older. But when we paid off our, especially my parents, when he paid off his house way back when, they had a party to celebrate that, right? It was a milestone in your life. And then from that point forward, there was a different, I don't know, I don't want to say different walk that they had, but it was a different feeling that they had, that they owned that house, you know, and then they didn't have no more mortgage payments. They didn't have any more of that stuff going on. It just a... I think in most cases, it just makes sense to do those types of things because you can, you know, like I say, save lots of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest, take that payment that you've been paying all these years and now funnel it towards your retirement plan. I think it's just a better way to go.
All great points. And you're right. I just watched my parents retire recently. And when they were buying their new house up in Maine, I think I might have mentioned this on the show before, but since you brought up this very specific point, absolutely, they had the ability to get a home and take a, and get a, you know, have a higher budget by taking on a small mortgage. And I remember the back and forth and just how adamant my mom was against taking on any kind of mortgage. She was just mentally did not want to have that burden and that albatross, you know, kind of affecting them in retirement. So it was interesting to see that debate range over the course of a couple of months. You hit the nail on the head there. So very good.
And it's that seems to be that way for most people. Now, it used to be, well, you know what? We can use that interest that you're paying and you know, on tax deductions. It doesn't work that way pretty much for most people right now, because the standard deduction for a married couple across the board is close to $28,000 a year. So in order to itemize, you have to have, you know, more than $28,000 and combine things for that to make sense. So that kind of old rule of thumb that people are used to doesn't apply right now.
All good points. All right. If you have any questions about what we're talking about today, planning, advice, guidance when it comes to your retirement, don't hesitate to reach out to Kevin. You can reach him by calling 888-885-PLAN. That's 888-885-PLAN. Or go online to insightfolios.com, insightfolios.com. And you can get in touch through the website as well. We're playing Agree or Disagree. Here's another one for you, Kevin. Do you agree or disagree that individual bonds are better than bond funds? And so maybe what are those for those who wouldn't know in the first place?
Yeah, an individual bond, you know, you can buy a bond with, like, you know, for example, General Motors or some big company like that. Or you can go out and buy a mutual fund, bond fund, that has lots of different bonds inside it. And I'm thinking individual bonds for most people are probably not better. So I probably disagree with that. And here's the reason. That if you buy a bond fund, for example, maybe an ETF or something like that, you're going to diversify a whole lot more. In other words, you're not going to put all your money into one particular bond with one particular company and hoping that that bond or that company doesn't get any financial trouble going down the road. There, if you go to the ETF bond fund, for example, if one company has defaults on that bond, it's not such a big issue because maybe you own 40 or 50 or 100 different other companies in there and you can absorb that loss. So I think that individual bonds, unless you're talking like, you know, government bonds, like a, you know, treasury bond or something like that. But if you're talking just, you know, mutual funds versus an individual bond, I think the mutual funds or the ETF is a much better and safer and diversified place to be, just and you can spread some risk out a little bit further.
Okay, very good. Agree or disagree on this one, Kevin? Nobody needs life insurance once they've retired. Just don't even need anymore.
I disagree on that one.
Yeah, I saw that. And one,
it's gonna sound funny. So why would you need life insurance, Walter, if you're retired? Give me an example.
You've got all sorts of uses for life insurance when you retire, right? I think I remember from you talking about how you can get you might want to pass on money to the next generation and use life insurance as a legacy tool.
Yeah. The other thing is maybe you didn't pay off your house, right? Maybe you just went into retirement with a new house and mortgage.
So you still want that covered. Yeah.
Yeah, you want that covered. What about if you have an old life insurance policy and you're worried about nursing home care down the road? Well, you can, you know, sometimes those policies have that hybrid in there where it'll go and it'll pay for long-term care. And if not, maybe you can roll that over into one of the newer policies that will provide that. Maybe you owe, I'm off the top of my head, Walter, here's what I'm talking. Maybe you just bought 80 acres because I'm thinking of a client and they mortgaged it and it's for deer hunting and building a cabin and it's going to have a mortgage on it. So maybe it's for that reason. Maybe you're buying a house down in Florida and you got a mortgage on it. All sorts of reasons that come into play why you need life insurance. So just because you retire doesn't mean you shouldn't think about life insurance. And another big one is, what if you retired from a place that provides you a pension and you took the life-only option? Meaning, when I say life-only, so you started the pension, you got 1 month's worth of pension, you went across the railroad tracks, got hit by a train, and you're gone. Pension's gone. It stops. Your spouse gets nothing. That's where the life insurance will come in play, too. The take up or replace that monthly pension that you're getting. So there's all kinds of uses for it after you retire.
All right. How about this one, Kevin? Agree or disagree? It's better to have a fee-based advisor instead of a commission-based broker.
I believe that's true because I'm a fee-based advisor, so you know that. And there's not really a rule of thumb. And some things, if I use an annuity, I get paid, sometimes a commission and those types of things. But fee-based is more transparent. I like that. So if you're a fiduciary, we got to be transparent, which we are. So you're going to see all fees that are involved in what's going on. And commissions, and I'm not saying people do this, but there's sometimes people come to our office and say, my broker or whoever it is trading a lot in my brokerage account. I'm noticing commissions up and down. And we're really not in it for the long term, and I don't understand that why we're doing it. So sometimes it's just, for me, fee-based is better. That way it's transparent. You can see what's going on, and you don't have to worry about any type of hidden fees or hidden commissions are coming down your way.
Yeah, it's just a good thing to clarify with your advisor when you're looking to work with one. How do you get paid, or what are those motivations? Just make sure that you understand any biases that might exist. And just to have that understanding, I think, is a good transparency thing in that relationship. So
yeah, you want to know how we get paid, right? Because you want to know how it's affecting you. So that's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, absolutely. Motivations, all that good stuff. All right, I think I know where you're going to go with this one. Annuities are a ripoff. Is that an agree or disagree with that?
What do you think I'm going to say?
You're going to definitely disagree with that.
I am going to definitely disagree.
Yeah.
Because I think now you're lumping all annuities into one clump, right? So
right.
Let's back up. So let's go through basically the types of annuities out there. There's an immediate annuity. An immediate annuity is like your pension. You give an insurance company a lump sum, and in return, they guarantee you an income stream for maybe the rest of your life or your spouse's life. Then there's a fixed annuity. Just a plain Jane fixed annuity, like a five-year, they call them MIGAs, multi-year guaranteed annuities. And today, you can get upwards of 5%, if not a little bit more. So what they'll do is they'll guarantee you get 5% rate for 5 years, sort of like a five-year CD. It's not the same, but it works similarly to that five-year CD. Then there are variable annuities, which are, I'm not a big fan of those so much because there's a lot of fees and a lot of stuff going on in there. And then there's the indexed annuities too. Sometimes those work, sometimes they don't. But I'm a bigger fan of MIGAs, just a five-year, maybe a three-year, maybe a six-year annuity, because if we need interest to fill the shortfall, we can use that and guarantee that rate out there for a period of time. You can guarantee it all the way up to 10, 15 years if you want. So not all annuities are rip-off. There's a place for just about everything in the financial planning aspect of it. But I think the MIGAs, and like we're seeing CD rates up 5% right now, you can get higher on the annuity side. For those people who want guarantees, who don't have to want to worry about the market, annuities may make sense to them. It's just picking out the right one is going to be the challenge for most people. So you want to look into it. Make sure they're an A-rated company. Make sure they had a good history of renewals, those types of things. And that's what we do here is we check all that out if you're going down that road.
It's all part of the planning process. Your advisor can help you navigate through these waters. And if you have questions for Kevin and you live in the Pinconning area or anywhere throughout the Tri-City area, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can call 888-885-PLAN and request a complimentary review of your financial plan. That's 888-885-PLAN. Kevin will help point out some of the deficiencies in the plan if they exist and also tell you how you can solve those particular problems and map out some solutions for you. This is a complimentary visit. Again, you can get in touch by calling 888-885-PLAN. All right, Kevin, agree or disagree? You'll be in a lower tax bracket in retirement, so it's best to contribute to defer taxes now and pay them later.
I disagree with that, Walter. Think about that. How many years has that sentence you just said been out there?
A long time, probably.
Long time since the IRAs came out, right? You need to defer the money. No, pay taxes now. We'll pay it later because you'll be in a lower tax bracket. Do you think, what percentage of people, do you think that come in the office that really applies to?
Ooh, I mean, you got to be having this conversation with everybody that comes in, I would think.
I do, right.
Yeah, okay.
So, I would say 50% of the people, they're not in a lower tax bracket because think of it this way. You've worked at company A for maybe 30 years and your primary savings vehicle has been your 401k or your 403b. And now over those 30 years, it's not uncommon for people to come to my office with $1 million or $2 million saved in that account. And what has to happen is sooner or later, that's been tax deferred all these years, but sooner or later you have to take what's called a required minimum distribution, an RMD, and they're going to force you to take money out. And if you don't, the penalty is 25%. So when you get to that stage in life, if you have to take out $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 out of that 401 or 403B, what do you think that does to your tax bracket?
Oh, it has a dramatic impact on it.
It has a big impact. So versus, I think you said buy something to defer the taxes now and pay them later. I think it's better, especially if you're younger, let's go the Roth version of this. Let's pay the taxes now and get that tax-free down the road so that when you do retire, that Roth IRA is completely tax-free. Doesn't matter what taxes are. You can, get at that pot of money, and no matter how much you take out, let's say you take $100,000 out tax-free. On the other hand, if you take $100,000 out of a traditional 401k, all $100,000 is taxable. But so you paid up front in this particular instance, you didn't get the deduction deferred all these years, but you've got all those years of tax-free growth. I think that's a much better way.
Okay, very good. We've been talking a lot about these different statements and ideas, whether Kevin agrees or disagrees with these various items. It's helping us cover a lot of ground in the financial landscape. So let's do this, Kevin. One more agree or disagree question. This one's about Social Security. And so the statement is, you should start your Social Security as early as possible to ensure that you get your money out of the system.
Well, to get your money out of the system is everybody's concentrating on now, aren't they? Because we've all heard it's going broke and this, that, and the other, but it's not going broke. In the year 2032 or 2033, there's still enough people paying in to get roughly 70-80% out. So we got to take that into consideration at first. But I used to do it differently, Walter. So I'm going to kind of stay in the middle on this one, not agree or disagree. I'm going to be in the middle. I'm going to tell you a story.
I'm proud of you, by the way, before you tell your story, that you didn't just say it depends on all of these. You actually took some stances. So I'm totally cutting you a break for finally getting in it depends here at the end.
Good for me. But let's look at it this way. Prior to a few years ago, I used to do it mathematically. I could, in our simplicity tree plan, I could show you mathematically which way makes more sense, whether you take it 62, 67, 70, whatever it is. But I have a friend who back in 2020 was diagnosed with lymphoma, and he was 60 years old. And when we're talking to the friend, he said, you know what? One of the first things that went through my mind, as weird as it sounds, was I'm not going to be able to draw Social Security, because he thought, didn't know the outcome of the lymphoma process, and he's doing good now. But that changed kind of the way I think. You're right. If I knew exactly how long you're going to live, I can tell you when to take it. So do you take it at 62, 65, or 67? If your health is not so good, or if you've had some maybe prior issues, I tend to lean towards let's take it now and let's do some planning for that now. On the other hand, if you have longevity in your family and your health is good, maybe it makes more sense to wait and defer it and grow it 8% a year. I used to be cut and dry in this. I used to say, let's let the math tell us which way to go. Now I'm like, well, let's be a little bit more practical about it. So generally, if you do the math, Walter, if you take it, earlier versus later, it's 10 to 12 years to break even. So what do I mean by that? So if you take it at 62 versus 67, your account's going to grow 8% a year from 62 to 67, but you have all that money to spend for the 5 years or 62 to 67. So you could have saved every dime of that if you wanted to. And then if you wait till 67, yes, you're going to get more in retirement income or Social Security benefit, I should say. But it's going to take you 10 to 12 years to recoup what you've already could have had in hand. Does that make sense?
Makes sense, yep.
That makes sense. So I'm in the middle on this. So it's an individual decision. When people come to my office, I ask those questions. How's your health? What's your family history? All those types of things. And sometimes I'm going to say, let's take it later. Let's draw down your 401ks because it makes more sense tax-wise. And then we can grow it up. Or if you have a much younger spouse, and then it makes sense sometimes to delay that because then your spouse will get a bigger benefit, those types of things. Many, many things come into play. And we sit down and we put this in the simplicity tree process. So should you start it as early as possible? For some people, they have to, right? Because they haven't got much savings, they retired, maybe they were forced out medically, you have to, there's no choice there. But if you do have a choice, it comes down to, you know, how long you think you're going to live, what your family history is. Are you going to save any of that, or do you need all of that? Does it help your shortfall? Does it not help your shortfall? All of those things come into play. How do you figure it out? Well, you sit down, you do that simplicity tree process we talk about each and every week. And then mathematically, I can show you, if you take it at this age, is it better? If you take it at that age, is it better? How does it hurt you overall as far as your retirement savings? All those things come into play. So it's an individual thing, one-on-one thing, when people come to our office and we figure it out that way.
Very good, Kevin. And again, here is the number to call to get in touch with Kevin. Set up that time to meet for a complimentary financial review. The number is 888-885-PLAN. 888-885-7526. If you get the voicemail when you call, leave a quick message. Kevin or the sensational Stacy there in the office will call you back and set up that time to visit with Kevin at your convenience. It could be in the office there in Pinconning or over Zoom remotely if that is easiest for you as well. You'll go through the planning process, a review of your current financial situation, an evaluation of your goals, seeing if those are possible with the way that you're currently structured, and then what changes need to be made to achieve all of those goals out in front of you. That's what it takes. You're going to get financial education, more confidence in your financial plan along the way with that clarity. So it's a great decision to make if you are approaching retirement. Maybe you're 5 years away from it, even 10 years away from retirement. The time to start talking about this stuff is now, especially the closer you are to that retirement date. So pick up the phone, give Kevin a call, and start the planning process with someone who has done it many, many times before with folks right here in the Tri-City area. 888-885-PLAN is your number to call. 888-885-PLAN. Or you can go to insightfolios.com and get in touch through the website. More to come on today's episode. Thanks for playing Agree or Disagree with us. We've got a lot more around the corner. Stay tuned. Marching along on Simply Financial today, Walter Strohl here with Kevin Ray, your financial coach at Insight Folios, born and raised in Pinconning. That's where the office is today. Kevin's also the co-author of the book, Navigating Through Retirement, which you can get a copy of when you come in for a meeting and a visit with Kevin and the team. If you want to get in touch, it's very easy. You can email Kevin, kevin@insightfolios.com, or you can call 888-885-PLAN, 888-885-PLAN. I guess that would actually be, what would be 5 8s in a row? So it wouldn't be quadruple 8, quintuple?
Quintuple, yes.
Something like that. So that doesn't quite roll off the tongue as easy when giving the phone number, though, does it? Quintuple 8. 5-PLAN is the number.
We'll have to start using that. It's kind of catchy, though.
Quintuple 8-5-PLAN. I like it. I think people would be like, what? What
do you
mean? Doesn't quite follow the traditional phone number cadence, but that's okay. All right, Kevin, let's talk a little bit about legacy and estate planning on today's show. You know, when we talk about estate planning, I think most people think, okay, I now have to get an attorney involved if I'm going to go down this estate planning road. So is that always the case? Is it pretty much mandatory that an attorney is going to enter the picture here?
Well, not necessarily always the case, but let me give you a couple of things I always ask. Everybody comes in my office. And the first one is, do you have a financial power of attorney? So why would people need a financial power of attorney? Well, let's say that you're married and that your spouse and you are going along and you have some kind of health incident or you're in an accident or something like that, and you're unable to act for yourself. Well, who's going to write checks for you? Who's going to pay your bills? If your spouse needs money from, say, your 401k, can that spouse get it out of that 401k without your signature? No. That's why you need these powers of attorney. And then also the health power of attorney too. So I'm asking everybody, do you have those things? If not, us advisors, we don't do them. I have an attorney in my office. We'll have you talk to that attorney if you want. But those are the two things that I think everybody needs. going into this estate plan because somebody's going to have to take over. Now, if you're second marriage or maybe you have, you know, children, some having, you know, issues, maybe they're special needs. And, you know, yes, we need special needs trust for them. Do you have children who are more thrifty with money or some that you're afraid if you leave them amount of money that maybe it's going to go back and create a problem for them, maybe a drug problem? Now, all these things I'm talking about is what happened in my office. That's what I'm talking about. Then you can specify in a trust, this child gets X amount, this child gets X amount. However you want to do that, you can kind of control it from the grave. So most of the time, I think, just for the powers of attorney, you're going to need to see the attorney. And then if you have, you know, large estates, if you have, you know, a lot of stocks, you know, you're going to want to do something with those stocks so it passes down to your beneficiaries the best possible way. If you have a lot of land, there's lots of issues that when people come into my office, I'm saying, let's get an attorney involved because, you know, I can take care of the financial stuff, but I can see, you know, a headache coming down the road if you don't do this with the attorney. Now, again, I'm not an attorney, but I advise you to go see one. And those are just some of the common everyday things that come up in my practice when I'm sitting talking with people that they're missing. So, yeah, most of the time we need to sit down with the attorney and do something.
So I realize this is a spectrum, but where do most people fall when it comes to this legacy conversation? Are people trying to leave a lot of money to the kids and grandkids, or are they more focused on their own retirement lifestyle and, if anything's left, great, I'll leave it behind?
It's kind of a sliding scale. When we sit down and we talk to people and they first come in, it's like, I'm focused on me. Whatever's left, we'll give it to the grandkids. Now, as they get older, you know, they've done all the things they wanted to do and they're not maybe as active as they used to be. Now the focus changes to, all right, I want to make sure my grandkids, my kids, I want to make sure that they get the most they can. So it's kind of a sliding scale. Now, recently, the last probably 4 or 5 people come in, didn't care about the kids or grandkids, which is all right with me because you work for it, you earned it. Let's have the fun. So they were planning all types of stuff. But the assumption is that when they get older, that will probably be in that sliding scale that I was talking about. And then that the kids and the grandkids will come back into play. But for right now, they're living it up. They're having fun and they can do it. And God bless them.
Very cool. Good to know. All right. Last but not least, maybe we can just cover a few basic mistakes. If somebody's getting ready to go down this estate planning journey, what are some basic mistakes that you see people make that we can just kind of check off our list right here off the bat?
Well, a couple of things. The powers of attorney that we mentioned, you got to have those put in place. Financial powers of attorney, health powers of attorney. But the other things that I'll see quite often is you'll go to an attorney, you'll get a trust. The people walk out of the office, they got this big book, they got a trust, they feel good. But when they come into the office, I'll say, did you title stuff over? Did you fund that trust? And what do I mean by that trust? That trust is just an empty glass until you physically put things into that trust and fill that glass up. So a big telltale sign for me is, how's your checking account come? Does it come in the name of the trust or does it come in you and your spouse's name? If it's you and your spouse's names, most of the time that means that's not in your trust. How does your deeds come? How does your taxes come? Are they in the trust or they come to you? All these types of things. So if you bought a trust, make sure it's funded. We see that a lot here in the office where the attorney may say, you know, all right, now you need to do this, this, and this. Some attorneys will do it all for you. It depends who you're working with. But make sure your trust is funded. Make sure you got those powers of attorney. Make sure you have beneficiaries. Let me give an example, Walter. If you have a bank account and you have, you know, you and Connie is on there, and then you have children down the road. You put your children on as beneficiary. If you don't, something happens to you and Connie. What happens to that money?
Oh, big trouble.
It goes through probate,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, it goes through probate. We see that all the time. Beneficiaries are an easy way to make sure nothing goes through probate. If you have one or two houses, the trust, Lady Bird deeds sometimes work out in estate planning. Estate planning. That's what we did in my dad's house. So those things need to be put in place, and that's why the attorneys are pretty, you know, a pretty good integral part when we're sitting down and we start doing this estate plan. We need to get them involved and we need to all get on the same page and work together towards a common goal.
Very helpful. Good information across the board when it comes to legacy and estate planning. We're just scratching the surface, folks. This is some basic info, but if you want to get into more details about your specific estate planning and legacy plan goals, definitely reach out to Kevin and start that conversation. You'll be able to put this conversation into the bigger picture of your overall financial and retirement plan as well. well. It's really important. These things go hand in hand. They don't live in a vacuum. So got to make sure it's all working together. But a lot of people will actually start with this conversation because it might be the thing that's most important to them or something that they feel conflicted about and need some guidance and help figuring it all out. Or they're just overwhelmed because they have that assumption. I'm going to have to hire an attorney and it just sounds expensive and like it's too much work and it's really not as bad as you think it is. And by going through this process really sets you up nicely for more confidence in your financial and retirement plan. So pick up the phone, give Kevin a call, and have this conversation. You can reach him by dialing 888-885-PLAN. That's 888-885-PLAN. If you get the voicemail, leave a quick note, and Kevin and the team will be back in touch with you. Kevin's based in Pinconning. That's where the office is, serving you throughout the Tri-City area. Come in, say hello, have a conversation about your financial future. 888-885-PLAN. Make sure you're on the right track. 888-885-PLAN. Or as we said earlier, quintuple 8-5-PLAN. We're coming up on today's show, so stay with us. You're listening to Simply Financial with Kevin Ray. It's getting to know you time. Welcome back to Simply Financial with Kevin Ray. It's time to get to know Kevin a little bit better on today's show. Kevin, there have been various versions of this game played on radio and TV programs, especially in the sports world, throughout the years. And it's underrated, overrated, or rightly rated, or correctly rated in some realms. So we throw out a thing or a you know, situation or whatever it may be, and you let us know. Does it get the right amount of pomp and circumstance, or are we over or under the bar here? So understand the game?
I think I do.
All right. So here's today's topic. Avocados. Are they overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
You know, if you'd have asked me 10 years ago, I would have said they're overrated. But, boy, I sure love them now. So I think they're underrated now.
Interesting. What changed your mind?
Well, I started going down to North Carolina, down to Paul's office. And then we go to a couple of restaurants down there, Mexican restaurants. And they make it fresh right in front of you. And they add all the ingredients. Oh, my goodness, is that good stuff.
You know? Are you more of a guacamole fan? And, like, the avocados are obviously the main ingredient there. Or, like, would just a string of avocado would you ever eat?
I'll eat avocado on salads. I love it, too. But okay, I love the guacamole. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go to CJ's here in town and you have their salad, they put great avocado on theirs. And it's always great tasting. And that when I go down to North Carolina, I can't wait to go down there and have that guac down there, too. So it's always good.
You know, Connie just bought a big bag of limes for a recipe that she was working on. And now there's just a bunch of limes sitting in there. I'm kind of thinking I might stop and get some avocados tonight and come back and make a little guacamole. That sounds really good.
That and a little chip? Oh, yeah. You're making me hungry already.
Yeah, sounds great. I definitely am the exact same. 10 years ago, I'd have been like, ew, what is an avocado and why would I want one? And now I feel like they're underrated because I eat them all the time. I like putting them in smoothies. They just make it super creamy. I'm with you. They're so good on salads. I don't know what it is about a sliced avocado on salad. Just something about that creaminess with the leaves. It just does a really nice job. And obviously with the guac. But I even really like doing this to avocados. So obviously slice them in half, take out the pit, and then fill up the hole with like a little bit of hot sauce. And I'll just eat the avocado straight out of the skin with a hot sauce kind of mixes in with it and just super healthy snack to eat that way. So that's kind of fun. And we've even grilled them before. Put an egg in the hole and then put it on the grill, open faced, and then the egg cooks inside of the avocado. That's really good. You can do that in the oven too.
That sounds really good. Wrap it in bacon now. Now we're going to go one step further, right?
There you go. I like that idea. Yeah, wrap it in bacon. Yeah. We've done it too, where I've grilled them face down so that they actually get grill marks on the avocado. And then when you flip it up, put a little bit of soy sauce in the middle, again, kind of bringing a little bit of that salt to balance out that creaminess. But now you get these little grill marks in there, and you get a little bit of that smoke and that smell from whatever you've previously cooked or been cooking while you cook the avocados. That's a really cool idea as well. And a warm avocado kind of gives you a little something different too. So.
Well, I'm betting we're making lots of people hungry right now.
We probably are, yeah. Unless they hate avocados and think they're overrated, then they're like dying right now.
maybe we just changed their mind, yes.
That's right. So even with people overpaying for simple avocado toast these days, you might think it's overrated, but it sounds like you and I, Kevin, still think avocados get underrated.
I do. I love it.
Pretty good deal.
Yep.
All right. Very good. That's getting to know Kevin a little bit better on the show today. Back to the financial talk and help coming up next. Thanks for joining us on Simply Financial today. Walter Strolt here with Kevin Ray, your financial coach at Insight Folios, serving you throughout the Tri-City area. We're online at insightfolios.com. You can go there to click the listen button, ask questions, or listen to past episodes of the show. Again, that's at insightfolios.com. Also, don't forget that if you'd like to go down that retirement planning journey a little bit more, but you want some more information before you get there, don't forget to request a free copy of Kevin's Retirement Rescue Toolkit. It's a physical box that Kevin's going to get for you, free, packed with books, special reports on saving money, taxes, proper income planning, and general retirement preparation. There's an audio CD in there, plus a few other goodies that Kevin rotates in from time to time into that toolkit. It will help you take the first steps to learning how to achieve a worry-free retirement, and it's a great first step for a lot of people who are dipping that toe into the retirement planning waters. If you want to get that free toolkit, all you have to do is call and ask for it, 888-885-PLAN. If you get the voicemail, just say, hey, I'd like to get that toolkit. Here's the way to get back in touch with me, and Kevin and the team will reach out and set you up. 888-885-PLAN is that number. Time to answer some listener questions here on the show. We've got at least one on the docket today. This one's from Randy. Here's what Randy says, Kevin. My parents have come to the realization that they're not going to spend all of their money, so instead of leaving us a big inheritance, they're going to start gifting us money now. We've been doing a good job of saving for our own retirement, and we don't have any debts. So what's our best use for this money? Our kids are 11 and 13. Should we just set it aside for college for them?
That's a good thing that we just talked about all morning here, isn't it, Walter?
Yeah, that this is that this legacy and estate planning conversation.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously, mom and dad are on that sliding scale, Randy, and then now you've done a good job because you're debt-free. I don't know your age, but that's good. But your question is, you've done a good job for saving. Do you save more, or do you put it in your kids your college? So there's an easy answer to that, sort of an easy answer. Walter, you know where I'm going. But let's look at your plan first, Randy, for you and your spouse. Let's make sure before you start giving money away or putting it away for college, let's make sure that you're on track, that you're going to get to retirement. There's going to be as worry-free retirement as you can. And if so, well, yeah, then there's nothing wrong with setting up a college fund for the kids. You know, you can go through the states, you can go, you know, UGMA accounts, you can do all kinds of stuff for the kids to make sure that that money's set aside for them. Now, one word of caution here, if you use certain accounts for them, you got to be careful because when they are 18 years old, by law, that has to be put into their name. So if that's not what you're looking for, if that's not what you had in mind, then maybe you want to keep that in a separate account, and then you're going to fund the kids' college from there. So it boils down to, are you, number one, Randy, are you really sure? Do you have a plan? And you're looking at that plan, you're on track. If not, well, then let's talk a little bit further. Let's make sure, how do we get you back on track? And if you are on track, yes, there's several options for the kids. You know, and then you can help out with college. You can help out with whatever comes down the road. And then the other good thing about this, Walter, is, Randy, your parents, they get to see that money used while they're alive. We have a lot of clients that are in my office. They do exactly what's going on now. Listen, we've done the things we wanted to do. We were spending the money. Now we want to leave it to the kids and grandkids. And I want to see it while I'm alive. I just don't want to leave it when I'm gone because I don't know how it's spent. I want to see the joy. I want to get enjoyment out of helping my family and seeing the joy that they're doing and all of the things that come along with it. So, Randy, stop in, give me a call. I'd be happy to go down both sides of that with you and give you some good ideas on either side. And maybe there's a split. Maybe we could fund yours a little bit more. Maybe we could put more money in or put some of that those dollars aside for college for the kids too. But you don't know until you sit down and you do that planning process.
It's a great point, but it is a great question. Thanks for sending that in to us, Randy. And here is the number to call. If you have questions like this, often that's how a relationship with Kevin gets started when it comes to planning for your financial future and retirement. It's not, hey, come look at all of this stuff I've got. It's, hey, I've got this simple question. And then that question leads to more questions, and that's what ultimately leads to a full-blown financial plan. But you can start simple with maybe just something that's on your mind, like this question from Randy. Maybe it's something else. You've got a medical issue coming up, and you want want to know how to handle it financially. Maybe you're a business owner and you're trying to wonder how you're going to handle that transition into retirement if most of your income is wrapped up in that business that you're no longer going to be working in, and how do you handle the sale of that to help fund your retirement if all of your quote-unquote money for retirement's tied up in your business. These are all great questions and often things that spark people to go down this road of financial and retirement planning. So get proper guidance from somebody who's not only local, but also been in the business for over 3 decades and brings that experience to the table each and every day. Call 888-885-PLAN with your questions. That's 888-885-7526. You can also go online to insightfolios.com or just stop by the office anytime during the week if you're out and about in the Pinconning area and want to come have a conversation. That happens all the time, more than you would think. Kevin has people just dropping by or picking up the phone, giving a call during the middle of the week to spark up these conversations too. And I think that's just the very approachable way and nature Kevin runs things. 888-885-PLAN is your number to call, though, right now if you don't want to procrastinate and wait until later on. That's 888-885-PLAN. Kevin, great show today. Appreciate all your help and guidance, my friend, and we will look forward to chatting with you again soon.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right, very good. That's Kevin Ray. I'm Walter Strholt. We'll see you next time on Simply Financial.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered through Insight Folios, Inc., a registered investment advisor. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Insurance products and services are offered through individually licensed and appointed agents in various jurisdictions. Insight Folios, Inc. does not offer legal or tax advice. Kevin Ray is an investment advisor representative of Insight Folios, Inc.